Welcome to the Dentistry Speaks podcast, hosted by members of the Speaking Consulting Network. We interview leaders, meeting planners, and pioneers to help aspiring and seasoned dental speakers polish their skills and reach their potential.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Dentistry Speaks podcast, brought to you by the Speaking Consulting Network. My name is Kevin Henry. I'm honored to be the host of this podcast and so glad today to be joined by John Riley. John, how are you, man?
Man, I am doing good and glad to be joining you today for this wonderful podcast.
And I'm glad you and I got to catch up a little bit at the SCN annual meeting in Nashville. It was a great time of learning, a lot of good education. You know, you and I had a chance to talk there, but I want to make sure our audience knows a little bit more about you before we dive into the topic today.
Absolutely. Well, much like you being honored to do this podcast, I'm honored to be being in this industry for 21 years now with Amplify 360. We started the company in 98 and I joined in 2002. And being able to be in the industry for the 21 years, I've seen practices achieve things they've never thought possible to really break through different ceilings of complexity. And so having that experience of really running alongside these practices, that's what I'm excited to speak today on. Is it another ceiling of complexity of this crazy topic of PPOs and when to get out and should I and all that?
So, you know, you brought up PPOs. I mean, what a hot topic it is right now. So why post-COVID is this a hotter topic now than ever before?
Oh man, that is the million-dollar question, Kevin. Since I've been in the industry since 2002 up until COVID, is that practices generally on their own without our help were not getting quote unquote full. Post COVID, when everybody's coming back, the schedules, the front office people, and the schedules were just getting crammed full with recall, right? They were putting recall in corners and crooks and crannies that they were basically just filling up the schedule because they didn't want to disappoint their patient. Therefore, they were putting them in the schedule anywhere and anywhere, foregoing new patient blocks, not really thinking of restorative, not looking at the big picture. Therefore, they got full with recall, and now is actually a phenomenal time to take action because they are full.
And it's interesting to me because we hear so much about practices dropping PPOs and should they do it, and so much discussion about that right now. Mm-hmm. And one verse that I've heard is 10 to 25% of PPO patients leave the practice when the doctor drops the PPOs. So is that an accurate number in your mind? And how do you compensate for that loss if so?
And great questions, Kevin. That is a very, very good and accurate number. There's others that see a higher rate depending on where they're located. If they're located in what I'll say PPO Central, they're surrounded by these big businesses that Verizon Corporate or John Hopkins University, and all they have right around them is these two massive centers that feed them, they're going to see a higher number. But on average, 10 to 25% is the actual metric that we go by. At 20% is a number that we actually use in our software that says, okay, on average, if you were to lose 20%, here's the thing about when a doctor, you know, when they're looking at the PPOs, they think, oh, I can't afford to lose 20%. Well, what they're not keeping in mind is that if they lose the 20% and the 80% stay, the difference between what they're getting paid on their fee-for-service schedule, at least I hope they are, they're getting paid a lot more on their fee schedule because they should never have their fee schedule close to what the insurance companies are willing to pay. Why? Because the insurance companies or the mob boss is willing to pay you, your actual fee structure for your fee-for-service patient shouldn't be anything remotely close. Therefore, when let's say 20% drop, then the 80% that stay, the doctor is going to grow exponentially because now every patient that comes in is, let's say if there's a difference of fee of, let's say, $400 from their PPO schedule and their fee-for-service schedule, those patients that stay, now you're going to automatically ratchet those up to that $400 increase. So let's say it went from $800 a patient to $1,200, or from $1,000 up to $1,400. Now, those patients are now not limited to those PPOs, and they're not going to be hindered by those PPOs because the PPO is limiting the quality of care that the doctor can provide. Therefore, the doctor had to change the relationship. For anybody that's listening, that is exactly how I want you to position it, because it's if they're willing to pay that higher fee and not limit the quality of care, you'd never leave, right? But the problem is that they are limiting the quality of care, and it's only going to get worse. It's never going to be less complex or less expensive than it is today to get out. I want to be very clear. It's going to be more complex and more costly if you stay. That's why this window of opportunity post-COVID is a window. I believe that it will close in the near future, because the fact that schedules, you won't get full, you won't be full again, you won't be in control of your practice. Anytime you're full, you're actually in control of your practice. So that's why I'm preaching on this right now in this window that we have, because doctors can take advantage of it. We've got more doctors out of PPOs right now than ever before, and it brings me joy. Last thing I'll say on this question is this, is that a doctor, one of my doctors goes, I lost 37% of my PPO patients through a specific PPO, and won't mention it, but they lost 37%. But the key is their net collections went up 40% in their entire practice, because the 60% that stayed grew substantially. So that's what brings me joy. I want to have the doctors get paid for what they deserve.
And I love that, because I can imagine the shock factor that it is if you lose 37%. You know, I can imagine what that is. Is that something the doctor talks to the team about, this change in philosophy, so that they're ready to be, you know, they're not going to get scared off, because we know how team turnover is right now?
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a big one. The team is absolutely paranoid. They're absolutely stricken with fear, because what I call the PPOs is the golden handcuffs. The golden handcuffs is what the PPOs want you to think, is that you can never leave. They make it so good that they're just giving you all this business, but they're really they're the ones that are controlling the levers of the practice, and they make the front office feel absolutely terrified that they can never leave. And so when we help a doctor get out of PPO strategically, there's going to be a time and place to figure out which ones they get out first. We don't just say today you're getting out completely. We have a whole system strategy, a communication strategy, how you communicate to the patients, what you communicate to the patients, when you do it, how to do it verbally, what you write to the patients in letters. It is an absolute system, because if you do it right, you'll absolutely succeed, because the key is that you have to outsmart and outpace the actual PPOs, because what they're going to make it sound like is that, oh, you're terrible. You drop these PPOs, so they need to find a different patient. They're going to write these letters to your patients. They will, because it's, again, they're the mob boss. Where we say is that you need to control that narrative in advance of what they're going to do. And in the years I've been doing it, I've never had one. We've got out thousands. Not one doctor has ever said, John, you've led me astray. I'm going to go back in. Not one.
That says a lot right there, honestly. And you know, it obviously you alluded to a marketing plan that there's got to be in place here. And I think one of the key components, and correct me if I'm wrong, of the marketing plan, like you said, is making sure that communication is at a high level. Is that one of the biggest components of a marketing plan, to make sure that you're battling any negative PR that may be coming from those PPOs?
Yes, absolutely. So there's really two parts to it. And I'm going to take a quick step back, is that let's just say right now the average single doctor is writing off $400,000 a year. Okay. So if they're a $1 million collections, they're writing off $400,000 a year that the doctor never sees. Well, that doctor is actually one of the biggest marketers I know, because they're investing $33,000 a month in marketing. Okay. whether they like that idea or concept or not, that's the actual fact, is that they're spending $33,000 a month in marketing for those, excuse me, but crappy PPO patients that don't, that aren't looking for an excellent clinical provider. So first of all, we want to put 80% back in the doctor's pocket, reinvest 20% to say, let's reinvest that into fee-for-service patients to fill the void of when let's say 20% drop, even though that you're, the offset of the 80% that stay, let's say, is going to offset your income, because they're, you're going to get more per patient than you were getting. And right now the doctor's basically enabling patients to have the best clinical care amongst the worst dental insurance possible, right? So once we stop enabling patients and they actually choose you, that the 80% are going to choose you, right? And we don't know exactly what numbers every practice is, because it depends on how, what the goodwill of the practice is, how long the doctor's been practicing. There's all kinds of different variables, what PPO is around. But then when we talk about the actual marketing plan, is that there's a parallel path, is that as they are dropping these PPOs strategically, one or two at a time, one at a time, four at a time, we actually give them a strategy. We tie into their software. And in this process, we actually will then do a parallel path with a marketing plan, whether it's a website development, whether it's a Google campaign or some print media or OTT ads. Everything is designed to really fit what the delta difference is going to be when they drop a drop that PPO, so we can outpace that loss, but also increase profitability, increase fulfillment. Last thing is this, is when the doctor drops, and let's say they did lose 20% of their patients. When they lose those 20% of the patients, that also, let's put a number to that. Let's say it's a 150 patients, let's say, or 200 patients. That's 300 appointments a year that they're going to also now no longer have. Well, that 300 appointments, you could be taking the increase in time off. You can now, or fill those 300 appointments with better patients. It's up to the doctor. Our goal is to have you increase your net revenue, increase your net profit, take off more time, find more fulfillment, and match that. And so that's what this whole marketing plan is all going to be about. But it's about strategizing to figure out what that bottom line needs to be, to where you're not dropping, but you're actually increasing your revenue, increasing your profitability, and it can be done strategically. That's what we do.
Nice. And obviously a lot of components to it, and good to have that kind of leader with the lantern lighting the way. That's
exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, well, you nailed it. We've done this thousands of times. We have literally guided over 10,000 practices since 1995. And this brings me great joy to get doctors out. Why? Because it's really matching their clinical skill with their marketing. Oftentimes they have this luxury brand clinical skill, but they have this dollar store kind of mentality of a patient base because of what the PPOs are doing. They're limiting the quality of care. I love matching that because that's what they've been trained to do, and they deserve it.
It's a good match, and it's good to have a leader to help you with that match. Absolutely. So John, give our listeners how they find out more, how they get a hold of you, because I'm sure there's lots of questions brewing in the minds of our listeners right now.
Absolutely. I'm gonna give you a couple ways. Go to amplify360.com, or I'm going to even give you my personal cell number. I'm a big believer in education, because education is free. And if I can help to educate you to make good decisions, and we end up working together, great. If not, if I give you some pointers and you go off and do it yourself, great. I'm happy to do either. My direct cell number is 541-206-3732. Shoot me a text, mention this podcast, and then we can connect and set up a time to talk over the phone. I'm all about education. You're never going to get hard-pressed sales. It's because it's too small of an industry to do that. And if I can help you, I want to, because you deserve it.
That's awesome. And, you know, John, one of the things I love about Speaking Consulting Network is kind of that abundance mentality and people Absolutely. Being willing to help each other. And it sounds like that is right up that alley. So
absolutely. Yeah.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Well, hey, thanks for being on today. Lots of good stuff, lots of good information, and I hope our listeners will take advantage of the opportunity to reach out to you to learn more.
Thank you so much, Kevin, for what you do for SCN and for doctors all across the country.
Hey, it's my honor, and again, my honor to be the host of this podcast brought to you by the Speaking Consulting Network. Make sure you check out some of those past episodes. We have some of the greatest thought leaders in dentistry offering their ideas and suggestions on how you can have a better career and enjoy what you do more. So until next time, Kevin Henry, host of the Speaking Consulting Network, Dentistry Speaks podcast, signing off and wishing you nothing but success ahead.
Thank you for joining us. To learn more, visit speakingconsultingnetwork.com. We look forward to seeing you next time on the Dentistry Speaks podcast.